Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
Saturday, February 19th, 2022. This is the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're powered by RadioSt.Pete.com, and we're on the Tantalk family of stations. And now we're streaming live on our MyHoovieTV.com. Just go there, click on Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, and we're streaming live, of course, worldwide, as we got a worldwide guest list start out the show today. Each and every Saturday, I'm down here bringing you a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. And I've been doing it about 16 months down here, almost 20 up in God's country, Iowa. And not really God's country. It's 12 degrees up there right now. And we're at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. He's been here 29 years. Last year, he was perfect. I just got a thumbs up from the studio. Typically, at my age, they need someone assisting me, fellas. And today, we're good to go. You guys must be a good omen. Anyway, we're going to continue to bring you this fresh and positive perspective as we launch into our video streaming upstairs. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But we've been down here 29 years at Ferg's, and last year he was voted the best sports bar in the Bay, best wings in the Bay, and that, you fellas need to try those before you leave. I'll take care of that for you. And I tell you what, each and every night this weekend we have live music too, and that brings me into Sunshine 96.7 FM, our music partner, J. Cole. We're going to be partnered now and bring in music, live music to Central Avenue. There's a ton of it anyway. But jam-packed show today. We're going to talk to the Eckerd College men's soccer team. And then we're going to talk to Mike Bowe. He's a Collin native, his daughter. And you may have seen that. Brittany Bowe got a bronze medal in the 1,000 meter. We're going to talk to Mike about that journey. He was her basketball coach in high school. She played collegiately basketball. And it's bizarre with these skaters out of Ocala. There's seven Olympians that were in Winter Olympics in from Florida. And the bulk of them were speed skaters. There's not an ice rink in Ocala. They do all the training inline, rollerblading as I call it. And we'll talk about that with Mike. Jim Foster, the creator of Arena Football, good friend of mine from the Midwest, on his relationship with Joey Burrow, a Cincinnati Bengal quarterback that everybody knows, the phenom. Jimmy actually grew up in Iowa, about 35 miles from where I'm at. But his dad was the head football coach at Ames High School. And I covered Jimmy, and we became friends. And two of his boys played ball at Nebraska. And then I remember the Arena Football, the Iowa Barnstormers, where Kurt Warner got his start. This little cat was running around. It was little Jimmy Burrow. I didn't realize it till my son woke my old carcass up and said, "Hey, Pops, that's a pretty cool story." When he was up for the Heisman, he said, "That's a pretty cool story about your buddy's son." I'm like, "What the hell are you talking about?" He said, "Joe Burrow's going to win LSU. He's going to win the Heisman." I said, "Little Joey Burrow?" So that's going to be a fun story because he was on the staff of the Barnstormers. Jim Foster, of course, owned the Barnstormers. And that's where Kurt Warner, who I got to know through that process, I did the programs. He'll talk about Kurt Warner and Joey Burrows, and it's kind of unique that it all came out of a lot of that came out of the Arena Football world. And then we'll talk Daytona 500. The Super Bowl of racing takes place tomorrow. There's races all the last 3-4 days, and that takes place tomorrow over in Daytona. And then Ray Kennedy with the Bucks report. We'll do a rewind of the Super Bowl, and then kind of take a glance at where we think the Bucks are headed. Nobody knows. A lot of speculation, a lot of talking heads wasting our time. And Ray will do that. And then, of course, we'll talk a little golf. We're going to launch on the tee. We'll launch on the tee on March 5th. And that's one pro and a hack. And it doesn't take much to figure out who the hack is. I'm the hack. Michael Jones is the pro. We'll talk golf. We'll talk hello, Happy Gilmore. We'll talk a little Caddyshack. It's a lot of fun. And that starts on March 5th. We'll do it right here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. That'll be on from 11 to noon. And then, of course, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection for the next 3 hours. Hey, let's recognize our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection network affiliates. WTAN AM 1340, 106.1 FM, WZHR AM 1400 and 104.3 FM. WDCF AM 1350 and 102.3 FM. From Brooksville to the Sunshine Bridge, all of Pinellas County, Hillsborough, and Pasco. And streaming live, as I said, on RadioSaintPete.com. But you can go to HoovyTV.com right now, and we are streaming live as well. Let me go into some of the scores and the games today, and then we're going to talk a little Triton soccer. And this time of year, I'm not kidding you, it's a little tough to fill because you don't have NFL games, collegiate football's gone, baseball's not getting their act together, what the hell's going on there? I'll talk about that. I'm predicting March 5th, and the beauty of that date, it's a Saturday, is it will be played at the Trop. I think the Rays and the Orioles will be playing right across the street, which is great for my buddy Mark Ferguson and some of the ventures that I'm involved in. So that's nothing but greed. But at the same time, greed is what's driving these owners. They're all billionaires. It's ridiculous, and I won't get on my soapbox. Let's talk about the games down here today. Remember, we've got 94 televisions. You can come down here, and I don't care where you're from, especially this time of year when you're not competing against college football. If there's a game you want to watch, you got a couple buddies from, you know, Arkansas. Who'd want to be from Arkansas? Anyway, a couple of buddies from Arkansas or wherever, Iowa. Who'd want to be from Iowa? We will put that channel on for you. You can sit around and cheer with your friends. So here's some of the games today. As we are actually about four games out of tournament play, and then of course March Madness, which everybody loves. Michigan State, Illinois today. Texas Tech. That's a big battle. Kentucky, Alabama. And believe it or not, as I've said many times, Alabama's just not a football program any longer. That will be a great contest. Kentucky, Alabama. Wake Forest, Notre Dame. You've got Iowa State, Oklahoma. Kansas State, if I could speak. The Big 12 is loaded. So is the Big 10, SEC. ACC down this year. Ohio State, Iowa. My Iowa Hawkeyes, they looked horrible the other night. And I'll be surprised if they get into the dance. Arkansas, as I mentioned, Tennessee, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Villanova, don't sleep on Villanova, and Duke, Florida State for you Seminole fans, Miami, Florida against Virginia, Kansas, West Virginia, and that's the college basketball lineup. I'm not a big fan of all-star games because they're an entertainment option, actually. And the NBA has theirs taking place. Last night they had celebrities, and that's a laugher. Then they had the rookie game. That's kind of good. You get to see the future of the NBA. And they'll have the slam dunk contest tonight and a bunch of BS that doesn't matter. And then they play street ball on tomorrow Sunday, and it's entertaining. Let's just leave it at that. So it's the NBA weekend. NHL already had theirs, and it was pretty interesting as well. I prefer the baseball as far as competitiveness because there's actually something at stake, and that's home field advantage during the playoffs. So that makes a lot of sense to me. Otherwise, I'm not a huge fan. On the golf side in Naples, just south of here, for old guys like me, you got the Chubb Classic right now. Bernhard Langer, the German, that guy's ageless. I'm 65, you know, and I'm struggling every day, and I'm looking at this dude, and he's 64 years old, and he's still kicking butt. Bernhard Langer's the man down there. Retief Goosen, just some names of notoriety that you might remember in the past. Rocco Media, that's a great event to go down right here in Naples. By the way, I'm going to do a little Chamber of Commerce for the state of Florida. What a weekend! Okay, so you got just south of here, you got the Champions event. So if you're a golf geek, you can go see these guys that were Hall of Famers. They don't mean anything to you guys. You weren't even born. They got grandkids older than you. Anyway, then you could go to Daytona, the 500. And then right up here in Clearwater, you've got the Clearwater St. Pete Elite Invitational. 16 of the country's best women's fast pitch softball teams from around the country. UCLA's here. They're playing it about 25 minutes from here. And that's a cool event. And I'll tell you right now, it's televised. I'll go over that quickly here today. It's on ESPN, but tomorrow night it's Florida State and UCLA at 7 o'clock on ESPN. And that's all within 3-hour radius. And this is world-class on television events. So pretty cool stuff there. And, of course, you've got the Genesis Invitational, and that is hosted by Tiger Woods. 1 year ago today, this coming Tuesday, he was at an event. Tiger Woods had that horrific accident, and I almost lost him. And he's the host. Right now, Chilean, as they say. Joaquin Niemann is the leader. Kind of a shocker there. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, a couple of notables in the hunt. And when Tiger Woods calls, people come, because 11 of the top 10s here, and actually the top 11 in the world, are all at the Genesis, and that's on the Riviera Country Club, which is very, very nostalgic. Anything else I didn't touch upon? Oh, medal count. Better do that. Tomorrow is the closing ceremonies of the Beijing 2022. I don't even want to get on my soapbox about these Olympics and China's work and the beautiful performance by the thugs in Russia for that poor young 15-year-old. That just is disheartening that can even take place on the world stage. In the IOC, and I've talked about this, I'm heavily immersed in the world of track and field. The IOC is the most corrupt organization that manages basically the Olympics and the qualifying, and it's a sad state of affairs. I could do a three-hour conversation on that and get a lot of guests to support that fact. Unfortunate for the sports world. Anyway, right now it is on top. Norway, 35. They actually broke the record for gold medals. They have 15. And then you've got Russia with 31, unfortunately. Germany has 24, and the old red, white, and blue has 24, and that's your medal count. Now it's time to talk men's soccer. You know, when I had Tommy on, I had one of his alum walk through here. I can't think of the guy. He played baseball years ago. I said, "What's a Triton?" He said, "A male mermaid." I said, "Get the hell out of here." male mermaid. Then he explained it to me, and I figured it out. So I'm fortunate again, and I love the last three conversations we've had. What a school. As I get more involved in it, I'm very impressed. I didn't even realize, and that's one of the reasons I want to do this. I like to recognize high schools that don't get a lot of coverage. Eckerd doesn't get enough local media coverage. You're a Division II school, for cripe's sakes. You got international players. The Sunshine State Conference is solid and competitive. You obviously know as you came back to your school, and that's John Fletcher. He's a 2009 grad. He looks like he should still be playing, but he's kind enough to bring his guys down, and I appreciate you coming down today, John.
Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm not sure the guys will agree with you. They see me try and play these days. It don't look too good.
well, we'll get their opinion of you here in a minute. Frederick Clausen and, of course, Harry Lang, and we'll talk to those young men. And so you came from across the pond, and you landed here about 2005?
Yes.
From London.
Played football in England, got released by a professional club after leaving school, looked around to try and find some options, and coming to the US, studying, getting a degree and playing at a high level was the best option for me. So came out here in 2005, stayed for 4 years, thoroughly enjoyed my time at Eckerd, and kind of always dreamed of getting back.
So you actually had a goal to get back?
Yeah, it kind of came full circle for me. Once I realised that I wasn't going to play anymore, and transitioned into coaching, then it becomes, you know, I want to coach at a place where I can do something really meaningful and have an impact, not just on winning games, but on the community and building something that's bigger than just, you know, 15, 16 games a year. And to me, that was Eckerd.
Well, you came back, and of course, we talked about, you know, Tommy Ryan, the AD, and the consistency of him playing point guard there, then being an assistant coach, then being a basketball coach for 23 years, and then taking the reins to run the athletic program, which has 14 sports. Pretty impressive. And as I said, the family tree is even more impressive of coming back and having that emotional equity. You guys have emotional equity. You know, you're Tritons, you got a lot of great memories. Some you can't talk about on the radio. But you had some great memories at being a Triton, and now you're making them with these young guys.
Yeah, it's a fantastic place, and, you know, not only do we produce good athletes, but we produce good people. And I think that's why there's such a nostalgia, and, you know, you see this recurring pattern. Tom's obviously our role model and the guy we look up to, but it happens time and time again. People come to Eckerd, they stay at Eckerd, or they come to Eckerd, they leave, and they come back.
Well, one of the things that you just mentioned, and in today's world, you know, we've got transfer portals and we've got NIL, and you don't see a lot of emphasis and focus on education. Well, I can tell you, there's destruction at its finest. Right across the street, in case you picked that up, folks, that used to be the old police department, and they're taking that baby down quickly, and sorry about that interference. Anyway, back to my point, a schlub like me would have never gotten into Eckerd because the academic requirements, which is very impressive, you got student athletes, and that's a focus. And then, as you said, making sure that they're ready to go out into the world. It's not just about, as you say, football or basketball or baseball. It's a lot more about more than that.
No, for sure. And we talk about, you know, it's three things. It's developing the player, it's developing the student, and it's developing the person. And I think Eckerd's a great place to really home in and practice and practice good life skills in all three of those areas. You know, we do produce good players, we do produce good students. Currently, we're at 3.29 in our team, which we're proud of. And we learn the life skills to go on and be successful, whether it be playing professionally, going into the workforce, or going on and coaching or grad school.
Well, very, very impressive. And now, what position did you play? Now, you guys didn't know this. I should have reached out. I'm a soccer dunce. I'm learning the game, though, because we're forming an alliance with the Rowdies. So you're going to have to describe to me. You know, you sent positions, which is great. This is like Chinese to me. Midfielder, defender, and then midfielder. So what position did you play? And we'll start with defining what the role is of that position.
The easiest way I'll describe my position is wherever they needed me. I was a bit of
a utility player.
Yeah, I was a utility player. I was a hybrid. Basically, anywhere I could get a game, right?
hey, baby, you're getting PT. You're on the field. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, I was a defender. Defender that could run a lot, so sometimes they'd slide me in midfield. Typically, you have to be good on the ball. I thought I was, but I wasn't. So they'd usually move me back, and I would defend. So I was an out-and-out defender.
Okay, so explain that to me now. I'm looking at the field. My son just left. He played college football in the States, not soccer. But he's an over-the-top. He even got me to the point where I'm my daughter, and she's in medicine up in Chicago, she's a Liverpool fan.
Okay.
And he's a Tottenham fan. So he's got me all the Tottenham gear.
Yeah.
Well, I got a good friend that lives down here that played for Tottenham. And he's, you know, he's my age, and he played for have you guys met Mark Lindsay?
I don't believe so.
You need to meet Mark Lindsay.
I'd like to.
Cool cat from Bristol, and about 65, but he was a pioneer in soccer in America, especially the indoor, and go back into the 70s. Great, great guy. So he's helping me a little bit. I got to get him back on the show and give me some more tips.
Yeah.
So they're trying to explain to me, and I'm like, I'm not getting it. So you got the midfield, right? So you got a defender side and an offense side, just like American football? Is that true?
Well, yes and no. Everybody plays on.
Okay, so I'm completely off.
A little more like hockey, I think you can compare it.
That's what you think.
That being said, we don't sub quite as quick. So, you know, these guys are covering between 8 and 11 kilometers a game. You know, they're constantly moving. There isn't, you know, time out and pause. So the physical base is really, really high. A defender typically doesn't go forwards quite as much, but does support the attack. An attacker doesn't.
So they kind of sit back?
Yeah, a little bit. It depends on your style, right? If you full press, a little bit like basketball, all out press, defenders might go forwards and go and press the ball.
But then you're leaving your goal undefended.
That's why you get somebody nice and quick at the back, like Freddie, that can deal with the ball in the space in behind, right? So depending on how mobile you are, the higher you can get.
Gotcha.
And more space in behind. So the really top teams are very connected and move back and forward together. And stay really connected as a unit. That being said, defenders do stay closer to the goal. Attackers stay closer to, you know, the attacking goal, the opposing team's goal.
We might have to do this like on a chalkboard, okay? We'll go upstairs to my office and you guys show the players. And then maybe it'll go into this dense head of mine.
Well, you'll have to come and watch your game.
Well, I'm going to. I'm going to go see every team that I'm interviewing. And the beauty of the basketball world is you got the women before the men, so I get twofers.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so let's talk about the 2022 team and where you guys, you know, where you are, what you think the season will evolve into, do you have a lot of returning players?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just break it down for me.
I mean, the most exciting thing about where we're at right now is we have a group, like you said, of committed returning players that completely understand the system, what's required. Last year was a really beneficial year for us in terms of growth and development. We played a lot of freshmen, sophomores and juniors at a level where we're competing against seniors, super seniors and grad students. Because of COVID and the additional year that most athletes got, we played a young team against experienced players. And so there was a lot of growth and learning from that, and a lot of experiences that we'll take and value going into the year. That being said, we're really able to define our roles and what we need to do to be successful at this level. And so we have a group right now that are completely focused on working every single day throughout the spring, or as we're allowed, up to the hours we're allowed, and we max those out, of getting as competitive as they can be individually, meaning that technically as clean as they need to be to perform their roles, physically as strong as they have to be to compete at this level, because our conference, as you said, the Sunshine State, is very, very strong. And it's a very physical level. And then tactically making sure we understand the systems that we're going to go and implement in August. And so we played last night, actually, and had a good victory, 1-2-1, and really came through convincingly in the second half that we were pleased with. And so this spring for us is about individual growth and development, with a bigger picture to making sure we understand exactly what's required of everybody come August.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete. You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection right here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. A conversation with Eckerd College head men's soccer team and John Fletcher. Got a couple of his players with him. And so the season actually starts in August.
In August.
When you get back.
Yeah.
Okay, so right now this is like spring ball.
Exactly.
In football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
this is this,
you can have a game or two, or this is inter squad.
Yes. So we typically call this our non-championship segment, meaning we still play games, competitive games. They don't count against our record in the regular season. So it's predominantly a development-based kind of 13 weeks. A lot of individual work. These guys commit to additional sessions every week. They're working on position-specific stuff as well as injury prevention, should they suffer from certain kind of injury issues. They're working on base fitness levels, should they need to tweak certain things. So it's predominantly development based, although we do still play a bunch of competitive games. Local teams in the area, we're playing St. Leo, we play Florida Southern, we've played against the Rowdies in scrimmages in the past, we go down to Florida Gulf Coast. So it's an opportunity for us to play and compete against some of the local teams that we may not usually play against in a regular season environment.
All right, why don't you introduce, we'll start over here and
introduce the boys.
Harry, right?
Yep.
Man, my ADD, which is age deficit disorder, isn't that bad this morning.
There you go, you're flying.
Yeah, I'm on a roll, boys. Harry Lang, midfielder, and let's get you
mic'd up.
Yeah, we'll get you mic'd up, my friend. There you go. All right, well, welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. You have to put up with me because I... Well, actually, I own it, so just kidding you. So you have to put up with me today and my ineptness to converse about soccer. But let's talk about how you got over here and how'd you find out about Eckerd? Where you're from, your family, the whole deal.
Well, I was similar to Fletch, actually. I was on a two-year scholarship at a professional club in England, about an hour from London, and then got released by them. It was a COVID year, and then reached out to an American consultant who helped me get offers, and got interested by Fletch and the Tritons, and I thought it was the best fit for me. I really liked his style and how he wanted me to play in the system, and it was a no-brainer, especially some additionals. Obviously the canvas is beautiful, it's a really lovely community. But yeah, it's just, and I really wanted to progress the team.
A young guy like you, I would think it's a no-brainer once you saw that campus. And all you got to do is sit here and look at some of the beauty that walks by on a daily basis in the Sunshine State. And it's just a great environment.
Yeah, it really is.
What's the weather like where you're from?
Yeah, it's pretty rainy all year round, to be honest. Every now and then you get a bit of sun, but nah, it's pretty miserable.
Okay, let's talk about your favorite memory in the world of soccer, and it can be prior to joining the Tritons.
I was at the team that I was at before. I joined the FA Youth Cup game when I was 15 years old. I was playing 3 years up, so it was like a big responsibility, and I was one of the only ones in the team. So that was a big moment. And then I say, like, going on tours. I went on a lot of tours. Been to the Cayman Islands.
That was cool.
Yeah, played against Tottenham Hotspur there. So that was a good experience. And one of the players there now actually plays in one of the top Dutch leagues, and he's like the number 10. So it's pretty cool experience playing against someone like that and seeing how he's grown. But yeah, I've had some good experiences by the record, but I want to experience that at school.
You know, one of the things that Americans don't understand is you don't play high school sports abroad. You play club, is that right?
Yeah.
So how many years are you playing club?
Club since I was 7 to 18.
Seven to 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anybody that might want to listen to this conversation, if I don't butcher it too much, because we are streaming? You want to do a shout-out? And I archive all these, so you can tell them to listen to the conversation. Anybody you want to say hello to?
Maybe my mom's listening.
Well, you better do a shout out to mom if she's listening.
She definitely
is.
That's
for sure. You better figure that one out.
Sister, my friend back home, Lucas Lewis, Marison. Yeah.
Anyone else?
Well, you certainly can. Well, I'm looking forward to coming and watching you guys play. And now I'll move it over here to Frederick. Well, welcome to the I'm going to start calling this the Triton time.
Triton
time. What do you think of that?
It's got a ring to it.
It's got a little ring to it. Triton time. Working on Triton time. Thanks for coming down with Coach. I'm sure on a Saturday afternoon, last night was Friday night, you guys might have had something you wanted to do besides coming down here. But it's not that bad of an environment.
No, it's great.
So, what position do you play? I'm looking at this and it says just midfielder, and that's the one I'm not getting.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. I've actually been on coaches' ass about that since my freshman year. I am a defender, play the same position as coach.
A little
did.
Closer, my friend.
Play the same position as coach did, as a center back in the defense. And if I were to describe that, it's just the guy who makes the job easy for the goalkeeper.
The job that makes the job easy. Oh, I like that. So you're kind of the defender before the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
That's the position I like to play, goalkeeper.
Oh yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure, and you got to be probably your quickest guy on the team. Is that true? The goalkeeper, or is it you?
I wouldn't say that's me. I would love it if it was, but it's unfortunately not.
Now in soccer, do you guys have an enforcer? Do you have a guy that they just know not to mess around with? Do you look like that kind of guy? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just first glance, you look like the guy, you know, if you guys are all in a pub, somebody starts a little altercation and it's a big mouth, you come in and you're kind of, you know, that's enough of that, or... You know, you're going to pay.
Yeah.
Is that you on the soccer field? Is that him?
Yeah, I think that's kind of my...
I don't know why. I just got that feeling, man. The quiet assassin. The kind of guy to sit there and watch things and then take care of business. Now, this is a question on that. You know, red flag, does that mean you're out? Yellow flag, warning.
Yeah, caught.
Yellow flag is warning, right?
Yellow card.
Oh, card. See, I don't even know. Card. So it's a card, that means knock it off. What you just did is against the rules. And is there any, you have to, a timeout? You mean you go in the penalty box?
No.
What's the use of it then? Just a warning?
Do it once, you get a warning. Do it twice, you're gone.
Yeah. Oh, you're gone.
Yeah. And if you do something...
Oh, so the yellow really is, watch what the hell you're doing.
Well, yellow's like a mid-level foul, right? A red, straight red would be I punch you in the face. Right? That's a straight red. Not the
Have you ever got any reds?
Yeah.
Atta boy. My background's boxing. I like that. Yeah, he got a few.
Like the reds,
here's my man. He's got some reds. I bet coach wasn't too happy because then he's done for the game, right?
No, I don't want no reds. Yeah, we don't like reds.
It's not like hockey. You go in the penalty box for a while. You're out. You're done.
No. And that's actually one of the things that's interesting about the U.S. soccer to European soccer. In Europe, you're allowed to kind of leave one on somebody a couple of times to kind of establish.
Wake them up?
Yeah, wake them up a little bit.
No, you guys don't take it?
In the U.S., you can't do that. It's an instant yellow or an instant red. They're really hypersensitive to those decisions. So
I don't like that.
You're
saying
us
Americans are soft. That's BS.
No, I don't.
Throw a few elbows, boys. Get out there.
Yeah. So certainly your style of defending has to change.
Okay.
Right? You have to be slightly more passive, and interceptions are more important than maybe making tackles.
All right. Frederick, I forgot to tell the audience where you're from, what town, and
so I'm from a little town just outside of Copenhagen, Denmark, called Lyngby. And grew up in Copenhagen and then moved out there. My parents bought a house when I was 4 or so. And been there until I committed to the record in 2019.
Cool. Yeah, that's while my son just got back from there. And the trip, he went to Amsterdam, he went to the whole area and had a great time. And I think you guys have 7 gold medals, just so you know, so you can be proud of your homeland.
Last time I checked, it was 0, so.
Was it 0?
Yeah, but that was after the first week, I think.
Oh, no. You've advanced, you've come up. Okay, so how did you find out about Eckerd College?
So I had an agency contacting me while I was on a training camp in Turkey with my with my current team at that time, and this agent just seen me play, started asking about how my school was and everything, and then we started the process of trying to get me to the US to become a student athlete. So went to Norway for a showcase, and it was 4 months later I got the call from coach, and I liked what I heard, ended up here.
So, John, how do you find out about these guys? You got your tentacles over in the soccer world, and then they tell you, you know, hey, I got this kid, Harry, you know, here's the position he plays, and Frederick, he likes to kick people's butts. Do you need a hatchet man? So they break it down for you. In today's world, they can send you film in a heartbeat.
Yeah, so we get film. We look at a bunch of film. We identify guys that we think could be prospects. Then we have those conversations with the people we trust, you know, agencies like Fred's and Harry's, have conversations about their character and then set up calls with them. If those go well, we fly out and watch them play. And by that point, we usually have a pretty good sense of who they are as a person, how their kind of their needs and wants as a player and for their development align to ours, and whether they're the right fit technically and athletically for us. So it's a pretty robust process, and can be a numbers game at times in terms of not everybody's going to be the right fit, and it is a hunt from kind of the season ending to the next season starting to find the right guys and the guys that will fit into the system and also work well together, you know.
I'll tell you one thing that's impressive, young guys, is at your young age, the worldwide travel and the experiences, and it gives you an idea of how small. I told this to my kids, you know, and fortunately they've all traveled. Go see the world. And soccer is affording that for you guys at a very young age, and it probably did you too, unless they didn't need a worn-out utility player. But you get to go to these countries now looking for these cats.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing, kind of a perk to the job, I guess you'd say, but to travel around and have some chance to spend time in Norway and Sweden and go to Germany, and obviously I spend time back in England and recruit there too, but it's also amazing for the local guys and the domestic players that get to share their team with, you know, 15, 16 players from all over the world, South America, Japan.
Yeah, I had that experience as a young man, and it opened up my eyes unbelievably to how small the world really is.
Yeah.
And you guys are blessed from that perspective as well. And it looks like you got a great coach, and you can relate to him. All right, so shout out to anybody. Don't forget anyone, and then you can tell them how they can hear this.
Well, I'll give a shout out to my little brother. He's turning 18 today, which is that's a big one.
Is that a big one in Denmark?
Back in Denmark, yeah. Uh-oh. Oh, he's in Sweden right now.
Here comes the pubs. Look out!
Yeah. So shout out to him. Happy birthday, man.
Anyone else? Don't slide anybody.
That's all right. That's all right.
Okay, my man. Well, here. How many miles are you away from home, Mike?
Oh, miles. I know it's like, what, 8,000 kilometers?
4,000 maybe. 4,000 miles, something like that.
4,000?
I would guess around 4,000.
4,000, 5,000. Yeah, you know what? I applaud you guys for having a gumption. That's an old man term. It means. And to come over to America. Yeah, you had someone like this, though, that can relate to it. That's the beauty of it. Yeah. You did it. You adapted. Yeah. And you can make that transition for these young men, much easier. And that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, they do that a lot of that themselves. You know, they're a really close group, and they have each other's backs, you know. And you see that when they train and when they work together, when they play together. But also you see it, you know, outside of football, how close they are, the time they spend together, the things they do socially. It's pretty cool to see, you know, a group of 30 guys come in from all over the world and see how close they become and how well they bond and how tight-knit they are.
Yeah, and if they don't watch the news, they'll know that, you know, people around the world can get along together. And, you know, and I think that's a message that Eckert actually, in every sport, according to what I've reviewed, I don't know about baseball, but certainly all the other sports have an international flavor, and that's very cool. All right, gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for coming down today.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to talking again. I'll reach out to you.
Yeah.
And I'm serious about the intern.
We'll be in touch with that.
Okay, man will coordinate all that, but if you got to reach out, and why don't you take this young lady, you guys go get some, grab some grub or something, and enjoy your Saturday.
Appreciate you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right, that's the Eckert Tritons, and I'm very fortunate to develop that relationship with these guys. And I want to thank Amanda, and I want to thank Tommy Ryan. And let me do a couple of take care of a little homework here, and then we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to talk to Mike Bowe, who's got to be a proud papa, as his daughter got the bronze medal at the Olympics just on was Thursday night, actually. And I tell you what, I was very impressed at Brittany Bowen, what she accomplished. The most impressive thing that she accomplished was giving her position up in the 500 to Aaron Jackson. I mean, that was very, very cool. And I think that's one of the stories that's missing.
Hello.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Good, Mike. How you doing?
Doing well. Not as good as you. He's Mike Bowe, and of course his daughter Brittany, as I had just mentioned, got the gold medal. And you had to be one proud papa. I just can't imagine. One of my kids played sports for years, and you coached your daughter. And I read something that you're more nervous about your children playing. You were a tremendous basketball player and played a little football, and you know, we all get the butterflies in. But isn't it a fact that when your kids are playing, it's just stressful, isn't it?
It sure is. I think I'm more stressed. My other daughter, Brooke's a professional dancer and choreographer. I think I was more stressed watching her dance routines than even anything Brittany did, believe it or not.
Well, I had the same scenario. I had a couple of sons that had nice careers, you know, through college. My daughter, who didn't embrace the old man and the boys, you know, jock world, she was a dancer. And I'd be in the front row, and I don't know a damn thing about it, but I think I was just like you, just as nervous. But let's talk about this journey for your family. And, you know, I covered sports in the Midwest for, you know, 20-some years, moved down here. The last thing I thought that I was ever going to hear in the state of Florida was that Ocala, and I drove through there a couple times, I went to school in Kentucky, so I was thinking horses, would be the speed skating capital, essentially, of America now, right?
Yes, and it all started with inline. Unbeknownst to me, at age 8, Brittany was at her first roller skating party, and she was just tearing around the track. And I get a tap on my shoulder and said, "Is that your daughter out there?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "God, she looks so fast. How would she like to be an inline skater?" Which I have never heard of inline skating.
I called it rollerblading, right?
Yes. And inline skating is on four or five wheels depending on the size of the person and how old they are. And as you said, if I put 50 sports on a piece of paper when Brittany was born, ice speed skating would be 51.
Well, yeah, if you look at your background, and which is deep in the sports world, and you're coaching up there at Trinity Catholic, and I went to a private Catholic school, so that's another thing that I was impressed with, and that's a successful program. And your collegiate background, and Brittany playing basketball, hoops, successful in high school, collegiately, I mean, that just came out of left field without a shadow of a doubt, right?
Yes, and she just continued inline skating. And then after inline skating, she was graduating from high school, and they petitioned it for it to be an Olympic sport in the summer games. She was a multi-world champion inline skater, and the Olympic committee turned it down a few times. So United States Ice Olympic U.S. committee asked her if she would like to switch over after high school and start on ice up in Salt Lake. As you just mentioned, she was a Division I basketball player. Instead, she went to college, and a couple of her good friends, Heather Richardson, which was a great speed skater that was with Brittany inline, she became a world champion on ice, and Chad Hendrick won a gold medal. After college, she was just about probably to sign a pro contract for play basketball in Europe. They asked her one more time, and she always wanted to be Olympian. She took a little bit of time, and she decided to put on ice skates for the first time at age 22.
You know, as a basketball player and as a basketball coach, when she turned down the opportunity to go over internationally and continue her career, did that kind of concern you? Because, I mean, that's a lofty goal, you know, to establish. Now, something that she'd already been successful in. No, I've decided I'm going to go and I'm going to be an Olympian, which the rest of the story is very impressive. But I bet at one time you might have questioned it a little bit, didn't you?
I really didn't question it. Just like both our daughters, we support them no matter what we did. And I know she was thinking about it, and we've been watching two or three inline skaters skating in the Olympics. And I knew it in the back of her mind, she always wanted to be an Olympian. And since inline didn't come around, she decided to do it. And she had 100% support from me and her mom.
Well, that's extremely impressive. Let's talk a little bit about you and as far as your upbringing and where you went to high school, played college sports, and then how you got down to Florida.
Yes, I'm from Rochester, New York. Victor, New York is just a suburb of Rochester, and graduated from Victor High School in the Finger Lakes. It's a beautiful area with the Finger Lakes region, beautiful lakes. That's why it's called the Finger Lakes. And I went to Cortland State College, which is just down the road from Cornell and Ithaca University in Syracuse. I played 4 years of college football and 1 year of college basketball. And then I moved down to Florida right in 1984, and I coached football, track, and basketball for 35 years before I retired 3 years ago.
Well, you actually look like you could play football yet today, and I applaud you as a 65-year-old man that's trying to hold on to my youth as well. It doesn't get easier as we get older, does it, buddy?
It sure doesn't. Every time I leave the gym, the people at the front desk, they said, I'm done. And they'll say, no, you'll be back tomorrow, coach. But the alternatives, it's easier to stay in shape than I think get out of it. So
yeah, I don't think it's in the Bo family DNA to quit. That's quite evident. And so let's talk about this incredible success. And you know, I get tired of the media, even though I've been one, but I've always provided a fresh and a positive perspective on just participation. And the negative media, you know, well, Brittany only got a bronze. Only got a bronze? My God, people. Any sport, you can highlight that. Third best in the world, and against a lot of odds. I mean, what an impressive young lady. But more importantly, as I said on my show last week, the decision she made to give her teammate Aaron Jackson her position in the 500, and then the opportunity to carry the flag, which, as far as I'm concerned, was karma, unfortunately, for the young lady that got COVID. But I'll tell you what, that move was more impressive than standing on the podium. And I think that speaks volumes of this young lady that you raised.
Yeah, that took the words right out of my mouth. I know her whole family, we were more proud of that than anything she's accomplished, any successes she's had on the ice or basketball court or any athletic playing fields. And it was funny, the first night that it happened at the Olympic trials where Aaron slipped, the first thing Brittany said, the very first text I got that night was that I'll do everything possible to get her on the team, even if it means giving up my spot. And I didn't even think in that realm that shortly after. So she thought of that immediately after winning the 500. And that was one of the most gracious things, and has touched more people, like Brittany said, than she ever thought of. She didn't do it for any notoriety. She did it for Team USA and especially her good friend, Aaron Jackson.
Well, and I tell you what, I'm getting goosebumps talking about it. I haven't met her. But when she represented the good old US of A carrying that flag in, I was sitting next to my girlfriend and giving her the update on the story. And you know, she's not a huge sports fan, but she loved the red, white, and blue, as we all should. But she said, oh, my God, that's got to be karma. I said, it's absolute karma. I don't care if you're not God-fearing. The good deed that she did assisted the United States, of course, with the gold. But there she was representing America, and what a better role model in making that decision to assist a teammate. And that, you and her mother had to be just beaming, man, watching those ceremonies.
And Brittany's a real even-keeled, level-headed person, even in victory. I never really have seen her so excited than when she texted me and called me and said that she had the highest honor that an Olympian could have, is being able to carry the USA flag and lead. I think there was roughly 244 athletes into the Olympic Stadium. And then she also said she felt really sorry for Alana Harris, if I'm getting her name right, that she knows real well. And she was a super person. And we found out that she's going to be carrying the flag back into the stadium during the closing ceremony. So that's great for Alana. But I've never seen her more excited, and I could just tell by how she talked and how she walked and spoke during that time that it was the proudest moment of her life.
You're listening to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We're live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and we had a watch party on the Monday night of the 1500, and we had about 15, 20 people down here. That was a lot of fun. You know, it wasn't the result you wanted, but at the same time, it showed the world the class act that she is, and to have that family and friend support is pretty impressive too.
There's such a fine line with speed skating. Even though she came in third, it doesn't mean that she's still not one of the best in the world at that specific time. Speed skating is decided by thousandths of a second. For example, Joey Mantilla, who grew up with us in Ocala, the mass start, which he was defending world champion last night, he lost by a tip of a blade for a bronze medal by 1/100,000th of a second. And as Brittany said, she just didn't have her lap speed. Of course, she was going over there to win gold. And that has to be your goal, else you don't train like those people do. I played college football. I wouldn't want to train a day of how she trains when she sends me her videos. And so to be on the podium, because you just don't know what happened, she was on the podium by 1/10 of a second to beat the Russian girl. And even though there might be slight disappointment immediately, shortly thereafter, she was beaming with glory. And we were so happy that she, not many people in the world get to stand on that podium, whether it's gold, silver, or bronze. But none to say the least is that just being an Olympic athlete is one of the proudest things, and that's an accomplishment within itself. And just we're all tremendously proud of everything she's done, and we're just so happy that she was being able to get on the podium on an individual event.
We're talking to Mike Bowe. Of course, he's the father of Brittany Bowe. But let's talk about the lady that brought her on the planet. Let's give her a little credit and love. You have a coaching background. You understand what it takes for preparation. You may not know the preparation details of this. Well, you probably do the sport by now. But let's talk about her role, your wife's role, in Brittany's ascent into the top of the world in speed skating.
Yeah, she's always been there for her and for both our girls. And she does everything for her. She visits her all the time. And she's a tremendous support for Brittany mentally. And she's there every single second of her life for both Brittany and Brooke.
Well, you hung up the coaching clipboard?
I retired 3 years ago from coaching football, basketball, and track.
You going crazy?
35 years in education in the state of Florida, and now I officiate varsity girls and boys basketball for Pinellas Area Referee Association the last 4 years. And I had officiated in Ocala for 13 years on the side. So I've been doing that full-time. I just finished my season, and I really, truly enjoy being able to be still a part of athletics and high school sports by officiating boys and girls basketball.
I applaud you for that because, as I've talked about this for years up north and down here now, there's a shortage, unfortunately, of officials. And for you to jump into it at your age, you're very fit. I can determine that. You have to be. I bet it's a little bit different perspective after being one of the cats on the sideline that's trying to catch their ear once in a while. That's got to be kind of interesting transition.
Well, it's funny because when I was what we call Mid-Florida Association, Ocala, I had officiated there a few years when I was coaching Brittany in basketball and also being head football coach at Bellevue High School. And I officiated with all the officials that were there when I was coaching. And then it was the same here. I was the head basketball coach at Highlands High School for 3 years. And then when I retired, I'm officiating with the same officials that were there when I was. And it's just such an advantage being on both sides. You understand the frustration and the things the coaches go through. And so it's a huge benefit to be on both sides. And I think the coaches here appreciate that, knowing that I've been on both sides.
One of the things that you could also be is a role model, because we know this, and especially you being a coach and now an official. Unfortunately, not a lot of young guys want to get into officiating. Back in my day, you had a lot of college kids that maybe, they played high school ball. That was a great part-time job. And then it evolved into something they did for decades. That's how it was in Iowa. I had a ton of friends that made that transition. I try to convince my sons to do that while they're in college, to give back to the games. And they said, "Pops, we would if there weren't maniac parents out there that don't respect." And that's a fact of life. But I bet you don't have too many fans that are getting in your face.
Not too bad, and I try not to make. I always
can't make it personal.
And then I tell the scorekeeper if something went wrong. I'm only allowed one mistake a game, so I try to make sure it doesn't happen too early, and then they laugh about it. But we don't have a lot of young officials. I'm being honest. There's most officials are getting up there in age, and therefore, I work six nights a week this year because of the shortage of officials. And sometimes two games a night. And you just don't see those young kids. Like when I started in Ocala years ago, we always had 15, 20 kids out of college. They start officiate middle school and then JV games. And then
WTAN Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDCF Dade City,
FM 102.3,
WZHR Zephyr Hills,
FM 104.3.
Listen.